Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we roll, a request. We'd like some input on how we can improve the podcast. And we're running a survey over on the Site Visibility website. Take about 5 minutes of your time. It'd be really helpful to us because it will help us to continue to make your sort of podcasting experience as great as possible. If you want to help us out and go there, the page is sitevisibility.com/survey. We'd really appreciate your feedback. And again, that's sitevisibility.com/survey. Today, I'm joined by Steve Rayson, director at BuzzSumo. Steve, how are you doing?
Hi, Andy. Yeah, really well, thank you. Yeah, no, thanks very much for having me on again.
From sunny Brighton.
From sunny Brighton, not quite so sunny today, but it's trying to break through. But yeah. At least it's warming up, which is good. We're moving into that spring phase, which is lovely.
There's a quality to the light, a certain quality. Anyway, before I get all sort of poetish, we last spoke on this show in June, I think, last year. And I think we were, if I remember correctly, we were talking about probably something like creating shareable content. Today, I want to talk about something quite fundamental, blogging frequency. But before we get onto that, Steve, just remind our listeners who you are and what you do, what makes you tick and what floats your boat.
Yeah, sure. I'm Steve Rayson. I'm one of the directors at BuzzSumo. BuzzSumo is a content marketing tool, which is incredibly, we started it a few years ago and it's grown enormously. We have over 300,000 users now, which always surprises me when I look at the number of people using BuzzSumo. But basically, we crawl content, we look at what's working, what gets shares, what gets links, and you can search for any topic and see what's resonating with a particular audience, whether it happens to be kitchen design or whether it's leadership development. But we also, more importantly, show you who's amplifying that content by sharing, by linking, for example, and help you monitor it. So that's what we do at BuzzSumo. So I'm always immersed in data, really. Every week I spend my time looking at analyzing websites and blog posts and seeing what works, what gets resonates out there with the audience in terms of what gets shared, what gets linked, what drives traffic. So that's what I tend to do each day. So I try to understand and really just draw some insights from the data, which hopefully is useful to everybody.
Now, if we look at blogging, good old blogging, which is one of the sort of mainstays of internet communication, I guess, and we look at the question of how frequently we should be publishing our blogs, it's a pretty fundamental question, is it? But I think it breaks down into a massive range of components. Steve, just talk us through this concept of how frequently we should be publishing on our blogs.
Yeah, I think it is an important factor because obviously... it's a key part of your content strategy is how much content are you producing? What's the sort of cadence? What's the frequency with which you're going to publish and build your audience? And I think there's no sort of one or ideal answer in the sense because it depends a lot on your audience and your own resources. But there are very different strategies that are out there, and they range really from what I would call high volume publishing. So some of the big publishers, the Washington Post and people like that, they publish over 1,000 articles a day. So very difficult for you to read everything that's published by the Washington Post. And I think a lot more people are doing that high volume, high frequency publishing just because there's so much content in the world. I mean, there are literally millions. I think there are going to be something like 30 million blog posts published today. There's so much. How do you get through it? And I think some people have taken a view that actually publishing a lot of content is good because you can hit small, long tail audiences. I mean, Jeff Bezos was big on this in terms of Amazon. You don't just sell blockbuster books. You have all the other books that cater for your niche audiences, and all that long tail of niche audiences is actually bigger than the blockbuster Harry Potters. And that's very much what he did at sort of Amazon, and he now owns the Washington Post. And it's interesting to see how they've increased the frequency of publishing content. So at the one end, you have the really high volume publishers.
Yeah.
But I think what's interesting is that a lot of bloggers have found that increasing their frequency actually increases not only their total shares and traffic, but even their average shares and traffic. So we've seen evidence of a lot of blogs who were publishing once every 2 weeks, maybe once a week, who've started to increase it to three times a week or something like that. And they've been finding that actually they're gaining more traffic. Now, there's a lot of controversy around this because, you know, are you publishing the same quality of content? And it's definitely true. You need a certain minimum threshold of quality. But previous research by people like Neil Patel and HubSpot found that actually, as you increase the number of posts, you actually generate not only more traffic, but more leads to your website. So there's that sort of strategy, which is increasing your content. And then I think, interestingly, and one that I've been exploring a lot in recent weeks, is actually a less is more approach. There are some people who've actually gone the opposite route and said, I'm going to produce limited number but really high quality posts.
Yeah.
And one of the sites I really like is Brian Dean of Backlinko. He publishes every 4 to 5 weeks, but he publishes really comprehensive, well-researched content, such as, you know, key Google ranking factors or a really good case study. And he gets average shares of up in over 2,000, which is huge for an average. And even his average for links is sort of over 100, which is, again, is huge. So he's actually getting more traffic and more shares, et cetera, than people publishing three times a week. So he's gone for a very different strategy. So there are quite distinct strategies that you can approach. And I think we can talk through, you know, what may work for you and how you decide, really.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because there's two extra. I mean, I have a blog, and I my posts are normally about three sentences, and I think my last post was about 4 months ago. but it's interesting because you mentioned this like the high frequency approach, and then the sort of lower frequency, and I assume those are longer form posts as well. These less frequent ones.
Yeah, they're definitely long form posts. So if I stick with Brian as an example, his posts average over 2,000 words. His most shared post is actually about Google ranking factors, and that was over 5,000 words.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're generally talking about more in-depth content. It tends to be content, and this is why it doesn't work for everyone, because I think it's got to be in-depth. You've got to write in-depth. I think it tends to be comprehensive. So he's done one like, you know, 200, you know, SEO factors you must take into account or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's original research. Have you got the time to original research? I think the less is more content strategy is not about less work. In fact, sometimes I think it can be more work.
Yes.
But it's about publishing less content, but more comprehensive content. So it's original. It's well-researched. It's the sort of content, I would say, that acts as a reference material. So for Brian, it would be, you know, important things about Google ranking factors, for example, what a perfectly optimized page looks like, or the ultimate guide to particular types of SEO. So the type of content is quite distinct. As I say, it tends to be original, well-researched, in-depth, long-form content. It adds some value. It has a sort of referenceable quality that you would go back to. And so it's not for everyone because it's not easy to write that sort of content. But there's no question that if you can get that right, and Brian's site proves it, he drove over 1 million visits last year to his site, which is huge compared to other sites who are publishing a lot more content. So I think you have to decide what works for you, because it may be that it's actually a higher frequency, 2-3 times a week, does work for your site. Ultimately, I think you have to test it. I mean, I had a discussion once with Joe Paluzzi at the Content Marketing Institute, and he was saying, yeah, they now publish about once a day. But he said when they went up to two times a day, they really got diminishing returns. It didn't really work for them. So there's probably a natural threshold to every site. And in their case, it's probably about once a day. For some people, it may be less. It may be once a week or so. But I think it does depend on the type of content strategy you take. And I think it's definitely worth looking at the sort of Brian less is more content strategy, because I think it doesn't only get more shares and traffic, but it gets more links. And we know links still matter in Google. And Brian literally is getting, you know, some of his posts are getting 1,000, 2,000 links, which is huge for a single blog post.
Wow.
Some sites don't get anything like that. So, but you can see why, because it's referenceable, good content.
This is it. It's more like, it's almost like writing a never-ending book, isn't it? Because if you're writing a book, it's going to be higher quality, it's going to be well-researched, it's going to be nicely structured. Obviously, it's going to be longer form. Each chapter is going to be longer form. But it's almost like writing a never-ending book in a way, isn't it?
I think your point about never-ending is absolutely spot on, because what Brian does is he updates his content.
So he'll go back and update previous blogs?
He will go back and update, and he does that a lot. And I was looking at it only recently, and you know, so you take a post from 2013 or 2014, and he will update it. So recently he's got an SEO keyword research guide. And he's just done a 2017 update, but the post was actually originally published in February the 20th, 2014.
Yeah.
So he's gone back and published something. And I think this is the other thing, is that good content like that, it does need updating. And I think there is a danger these days that people see the web a bit like an old newspaper. I publish it and it's done, and then I have to publish something new. Obviously, content can continually be updated on the web. So, and it's a bit obvious, but very few people do it. So, but here's an example that he continues. If you look at his blog post, he'll say update, update, updated, or he will actually tell you that it's a 2016 update. And so what he's doing is doubling down on his good content, content that worked 2 years ago, that really worked. Rather than lose that, he's doubling down on it. He's actually updating it for people because it worked. And again, I think people don't do this as much as they should sometimes, which is, you know, look at your content that's working and really focus on that. I see some people, they publish a post, it doesn't really work, it doesn't get much traction, and then they pay for advertising to promote it. And I think Jay Baer said this recently, that, you know, if your content failed organically, even throwing a lot of money at it probably isn't going to make that much difference. Whereas if you can find your content that really resonated, let's double down on that content, maybe re-promote it, update it. And I think that's what Brian does a lot. So he doesn't create lots of brand new content, but he keeps content updated. And so your word never ending, I think, is right. So people keep going back, because, you know, if I want to look at keyword research, I would often go back to the same article from Brian, because I know it's updated with the latest thinking, for example. And he's got another one on 21 sort of SEO techniques, and that's regularly updated. So it's, you know, doesn't, because the danger is often content gets dated on the internet. But so I think consistently updating and doubling down on good content is important. And that may be much more important than writing a completely new post. But some people just get obsessed with, I have to publish a post today, I'll have to publish a post tomorrow. I think taking that time and going back and doubling down on what works can be a much better strategy.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So when he goes back and updates Steve, does he do that in a way where it's obvious he's updated it, or does he actually sort of go to the original text and sort of tweak it, or does he say sort of updates like 2017, I've recently found out that blah blah blah?
Yeah, he makes it very clear and explicit. I mean, it starts with the title. So the title will say, I'm looking at one at the moment, and it just says SEO tools complete list 2016 update. Yeah, so Brian makes it very clear when he's updated something, and it starts with the title. So I'm looking at one at the moment, SEO tools, the complete list. It actually says in the title 2016 update. I'm looking at another one now that says 2017 update. So he makes it very clear what he's updated, where he's updated. And that's important, I think, for the reader to understand that. But it means that he's really building on a post that was already working. People really liked it.
Yeah.
And I think this comes on to another point, which is not that, people liked it and he's updating it, but then he's re-promoting it. And this all comes back to me about content amplification.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because that is something you're quite big on. I don't like that expression, but you know what I mean. Content amplification, because that's, I mean, writing these posts is only half the story, really, isn't it?
It absolutely is only half the story, because, you know, you write it, you click publish. Some people think that's job done, and to me that really isn't job done. I mean, I think even before you start writing, I think you need to think about how is this content going to be amplified, because there's literally so many articles being published each month now. I was doing some work with somebody the other day, and they were saying, well, we want to score well for leadership training. And so I had a look on Google, 360 million articles on leadership training. So, you know, people, you can't just publish great content these days, I think, and expect people to find it. There's too much. So I think before you even start writing, you have to think about content amplification. So how's it going to reach your audience? Now, of course, you could do that in a paid way. You could try and pay for ads on Facebook, Twitter, etc., to drive people to it. You could amplify it through mailing your email list and making sure your people see it via your email list. But you can also think about who's going to share that piece of content, who's going to link to the content. And I think you can think about that even before you write it. And in fact, people who are good at amplifying content, you might even want to involve them in producing the content, get their views on your content, interview them for that piece of content, so that when you publish it, they're going to help you share it and amplify it. You might want to ask a group of people about views before you finish researching an article and writing it. But it seems to me that once you click publish, that's not job done. You've still got to promote and amplify that content. And I think the interesting thing about the less is more content strategy is you obviously have more time. If you're only publishing one post a month as opposed to three posts a week, you can spend more time really pushing that post and getting it out there. But you can only do that for your best content. But it does seem to me that people still haven't grasped just how important amplification is. I get very sad sometimes when I see, you know, quite a large site publish a post and it ends up with 10, 15, 20 links sometimes, 20 shares sometimes.
Yeah.
Not very many. You think, you know, even your own staff haven't shared this. So you haven't even used your own employee advocacy to get your article out there. So if nobody reads it, have you wasted your time, really? Maybe not. Maybe someone will find it later. Mm. But I think you've really got to focus on getting it out there. And it all comes back to this thing that there's so much content. You can't just expect people to find it. You have to have a clear strategy for how are people going to discover your content.
So if you had, we've covered quite a few bases today, but if you had like one top tip or key takeaway for our audience today, Steve, what would it be stemming from this?
I think my one key tip for people would be, firstly, think about your content frequency and what works for you. If you're an organization or a blogger who you do research, you have something original, I would think about the less is more strategy and doing more comprehensive, in-depth content. Equally, if that doesn't quite work for you in terms of the type of content you're doing, I would think about content frequency and I would test it. So if you're doing one post a week, try a couple of posts a week and see what works for you with your audience.
Yeah.
But I would spend a lot of time also thinking about this whole issue around amplification and making sure that almost for every piece of content, you've got a clear amplification strategy. You know, how is this going to get shared out there? Just how do people discover it? And Google's still important. People still discover content through Google. Mm. But increasingly, we see people discover content because their friend shared it on Facebook or on Twitter or somewhere else. So it's not the sort of, you know, straightforward, just get to the top of Google. Even if you do that, you will obviously do well. But you've got to think about how people are going to discover content. And I think that amplification and sharing process matters. Get your own employees to share it and push it out there. But also try to find the key, and I wouldn't call them influencers. There's a lot about influencer marketing. I think to me, it's not about getting a mention by an influencer, because often, even if an influencer shares your content once on Twitter, it probably disappears quite quick. And even for big influencers, average retweet rates are quite low, surprisingly low. I think what you're looking for is not, you know, trying to get 100 influencers. You're trying to find 5-10 advocates. And I call them sort of influencer advocates, really. People who are really going to promote you, not just by sharing it once, but they'll probably share it more. But if they're talking at a conference, they would say, you know, I've got a couple of people who I work closely with, I'd say are advocates for BuzzSumo, and I've seen them at a conference saying, I'd recommend you use BuzzSumo. So it's not, they're not just tweeting it, they're mentioning it at a conference, or they're mentioning it in a blog post. And I think, don't try to get a list of hundreds of influencers. Try and say, who are my 5-10 really core advocates who are going to help me promote that? Because once you've got that core base, it's easier to build from it. And certainly on amplification, if a post is working, then double down on that post. Think about what worked from that post, not just simply to replicate it, but maybe to re-amplify it, maybe put some Facebook ad spending behind that specific post. So it seems to me that content amplification is just so important. We have to think about that. It can be too easy just to write a blog post and not think enough about amplification before we even start writing.
Some great tips there, Steve. Thanks so much. Maybe we should have another chat about amplification in a future episode.
Yeah, I'm always keen to talk about amplification. I think it's just that it's often just missed out a lot. Write a lot about writing good headlines, which are important, writing good headlines, what content formats work, should you use infographics, how do case studies work, etc. But often amplification doesn't get the attention it deserves.
Well, we shall correct that. How can our listeners find out more about you and more about BuzzSumo?
Yeah, if they want to find out more about me, just go to buzzsumo.com, or they can find me at Twitter at Steve Rayson, or one word. And yeah, very happy to engage with any discussions around content with people. So yeah, if they want to contact me, they can find me there or on LinkedIn and other channels.
And just for clarification for our listeners, because I love spellings, BuzzSumo is BUZZSUMO, is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
BuzzSumo. And your surname is Rayson.
Yep, it just means son of Ray, a bit like son of John Johnson, etc. So there's obviously not many Rays around at the time, but it's a slightly more unusual.
Thanks for listening, everyone. The show notes are in the usual place, sitevisibility.com/impodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please do leave us a review so that we know how we're doing and can continue to bring better marketing ideas and advice. And we're always open to suggestions of questions and future topics. So if you want to email us, it's podcast@sitevisibility.com, or you can tweet us at sitevisibility. If you want to connect with me personally, I'm Dr. Pod, DOCTOR POD on Twitter and LinkedIn. And if you want to continue the conversation, you can always join the Site Visibility, all one word, group on LinkedIn. Thanks again for listening. So that's all from me, Andy, and it's all from Steve.
Thanks, Andy. Yeah, take care, everyone.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.